Yeah, you can. That's your cue.
All right, I wonder how I got hold of my kids' crayons, and I find that I can kind of keep my thoughts together preaching a little bit if I color it a little bit. Plus, it sort of makes me a little bit happy to see all them colors on there. Yeah. Hallelujah. How's everybody doing tonight? Man, I'll tell you what. Beautiful day in the neighborhood. Look, I was watching, been a few years ago now, and if it was when Bubba Watson had, I think it was when he won his second Masters. Bubba Watson's a left-handed golfer, real creative and all that. He's one of these guys that hits these swinging slices and all this stuff. He's really pretty incredible. And so they asked him, when they were giving him his second jacket, you know, they have a ceremony where they put it on you and all this stuff. And then they said, was this all you had dreamed about? Was this all you had dreamed it would be? And he said, I never got this far in my dreams. He said, my dreams just never got me. I just couldn't imagine it, you know. And it might sound kind of weird to you, but I feel the same way about being here. I can never have thought of me being here preaching. Amen. You know, I can never. I'm on the board of directors here, and I get to go in there. I go in there, and there's Dr. Ben Lynn, and there's C.W. Hudgens, there's Mr. Ed Robbins, and of course our leaders, Pastor Chris and Pastor Debbie, and Heather's there, And I tell you, I just look around, I want to pinch myself, thinking, what am I even doing here? I haven't done or know anything that causes me to deserve to be there. In fact, if we were going to show videos, each of our video, you know what I'm talking about when I say that? How your life has gone. You know, we're just going to pick the five worst times of your life, and we're going to show that video. Each one's going to have one of them squares right there. Everybody here will have a square. And I'll have mine up there. And I could say, look, now everybody's going to get to see all the dirt in my life on this video. But let's make a deal. Because we're showing yours on all the rest of the walls. What do you say we all just meet out in the parking lot? And just forget about watching the videos. Look, it wouldn't be an empty seat in here. Because everybody's got some things that they're not too excited about that they've done. But you know, all of that stuff, Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind. Forget that stuff. That's why I heard some clever preacher said, that's why the rear view mirror is only that big and the windshield's that big. You know? And I tell you, it's just a wonderful, I'm a little bit disappointed in all of the technology here, and I'm going to show you why right now. And I'm 61 years old. Not nearly as old as Doug. But look how much more hair he's got. Look at that bald spot right there. I mean, look how it shows up. Have you seen Doug's hair? How did he get to keep all the hair? He's led a really rough life. I'm telling you, this guy has done some hair falling out moves in his life. But does he got a big bald spot? No, it's just me that's got that. If I'd have known that bald spot was going to show up, I'd have took a Sharpie and wrote Doug a note up there. But it's like, to me, it's like I could never dream of being beyond. And I know great stuff. God does wonderful things in our lives. But I tell you, to have the kind of friends that I know in here, and I've been here to preach a few times now, and I see people I know, I've been done the man up thing and all that, and I'm telling you, I'm not exaggerating one little bit. For me, for the world, it might not seem like a big deal. For me, it's a dream come true. It's a dream come true. And like I say, just to sit in that meeting with those guys with all that wisdom and all that, it's just incredible. So anyway, I'm happy. And God is good. Glory to God. And Bubba Watson is good, too. I mean, that guy can play. But you know what? He's not one bit more happy, I can guarantee you, with what he's got. And I think he's a great guy. I think he's probably a believer. That he ain't as happy as I am, I bet. If we could check it out. We're going to look at... I get to go preach at places, not too often, just every now and then, you know. Pastor Chris might call and say, hey, you know, he's... If Pastor Chris asks you to do something, you got a good couple months. I mean, he does everything like real orderly and in advance and all that stuff, you know. And I forgot I was even preaching up here tonight until Doug called earlier. He was real worried because last time I was here, I had a flat tire. It was 215 degrees outside. My daughter Emily was standing there. And I'm underneath of the truck trying to get the tire. I didn't even know it had a spare because a lot of cars don't even have a spare now. And I'm trying to get the spare to come down. And she said, Dad, would you like some of my water? And I said, no, honey, I'm fine. And about then I kind of felt like the world started spinning a little bit. And I said, yeah, let me get a little sip of that water right there. Got me a drink of it. Everything went a lot better right after that. Then Doug called. Where are you? Because, see, if I don't show up, then Doug's going to preach. And I guarantee you, I haven't looked at his notes or anything, but I guarantee you he's got a sermon ready to go. There's no way he don't have one ready to go. But I don't know. We should be able to handle it. You can just take it easy, Pastor Doug. And I love Doug, too. Doug's very difficult. He's hard to love. He's a hard guy to love. But I love him. He's a good guy in a lot of ways. Some not so. You know what I'm saying. So what I like to do is when I get a chance to come, I've been pastoring for probably nearly 30 years now. And we started Faith Fellowship over in Toano in 98. And so that's, I don't know, 27, 28 years. But I was teaching kids before that. And taught at kids' church at my church where I got saved at. But since I got saved, that's probably 35 years ago or something like that. But I learned a few things along the way. And everywhere I get to go and share, I bring these up. Tonight, it's its own one. Normally, I have a few of them, and I'm going to share them with you. But I'm going to talk tonight for just a little while about probably the most important thing, the thing that's kind of changed everything for me. It started with this, be filled with the Holy Spirit and speak in tongues every day. I thank God I was never one of these guys that said, well, that's just all gibberish or that's phony or fake or weird. It don't even mean nothing. I went right into talking in tongues every day. And I was at a pastor's meeting, me and Connie were, and all the pastors were doing what pastors usually do, and it's this thing called commiserating. That's where you share your misery. And they were talking about, you know, it's not the people in the church or this or that, or it's difficult. And there's no shortage of problems in pastoring. I've been doing it for years and years. I mean, problems can just appear out of nowhere. But they were kind of talking about how, you know, the money's tight and all this different things that people are uncooperative. And somehow it got around to me, and I have no recognizable training in anything. And I said, what I do is pray in tongues. And I found that you can get the answer to every question, especially if you just ask God. You say, I know I don't understand what I'm saying, and no man understands, but God, Father, you know what I'm saying, and you know the answer to everything. Tell me what it is. Amen. And so you can find out. And that doesn't come from complaining to your friends, you know, about how tough the ministry is. Everybody knows ministry's tough. Go to the shipyard's tough. It's tough to be a plumber. It's tough to be an electrician. Try being an electrician out there when it's 100 like it is today. I mean, or work for the state or something like that. Everything's hard. But I tell you, there's one place that it ain't all that hard, and that's talking tongues. Brother Hagin said you build yourself up like a battery. Build yourself up in your most holy faith. He said it's like charging a battery. And so if you're feeling a little weak, all you got to do is mow off some shamashamas in your life. You know what I'm saying. What'd you say? I don't got any idea. Don't care. God knows. I might have just shot a big, quick prayer for some missionary out in Africa right there. You can't ever tell. That might be a big check in the mailbox when I get home. I don't know. I mean, who knows? I'm not asking on that one. Praise God. Speaking tongues every day. Don't, whatever you do, talk. And I if there's something more than every day, I guess it would be like every hour. Just all the time, find yourself. Always find yourself praying in tongues. The second thing, and this is going to go quick. I learned to be a generous giver. I learned by watching my brother, most generous guy I've ever met. And everywhere you go, he pays for everything. And it's not just paying for everything. Everything he's got, he's just very generous with. And so I learned by watching him how to be a giver. And these are things that after I got hold of these, everything changed. Everything changed. Got saved, but I wasn't talking in tongues the first day I got saved. And when I did, I worked at the shipyard, and I had a 10-minute ride to the bus stop and a 10-minute ride back. I'd pray in tongues all the way to the bus stop and all the way back till that piece of truck I had broke, and I had to get a ride with somebody else. Well, I wasn't going to pray in tongues 10 minutes going and 10 minutes coming back with him, because he'd have thought I was crazy and he'd have been right. But what I noticed is I wasn't quite as sharp on spiritual things. I noticed in the shop where I was at, where I might just be working on something and recognize something about somebody. Didn't know nothing about gifts of anything. But I felt like things were kind of getting a little bit dull and a little bit, you know, like my blade might have needed to be sharpened. And when I finally got my truck fixed, that solved it. I got 20 more minutes of praying in tongues. And turns out that's all you need. That's all I needed. And so to pray in tongues, be a generous giver, forgive quickly. You got to forgive people. These are really important things. And I mean, these are life-changing things. It sound real simple, but I'm going to tell you, it's as easy as staying off a treadmill to not forgive somebody right away. And what happens if you don't forgive somebody quickly? You might forget about it. You're going to forget about it because you want to forget about it, because you don't want to forget that mess that somebody ripped you off or something like that, did you wrong, and you have something against them. You want to forgive them quickly. Why? Because if you forget and that thing lodges up on the inside of you, you can't figure out why you're in a bad mood. You can't figure out why things don't seem to be going right. Why you didn't got snappy with everybody? Because you're walking in unforgiveness. You think you're the only one that needs to be forgiven. Whoever you need to forgive needs to be forgiven. And really, the person that you forgive don't need it as much as you need to forgive them. You know, like somebody said, it's like drinking poison. Unforgiving is like drinking poison expecting the other person to die. You know? Forgive, just like, see, if God tells you to give somebody something that's valuable, say $100 or a car, or give something to somebody, then you might, if you wait around a while, you might begin to realize what value that thing could have if you just held on to it. Well, that's holding on. That's like a farmer out in the field, like Doug mentioned earlier, sowing seeds. That's like a farmer out in the field, and he says, you know what? I don't have to sow this seed. I can hang on to it. And I've got a good double handful of it right here. Pour it in a bag, put it back in there. I mean, I'll never run out of seed as long as and you'll never have a crop. Give it away quick. Give it away quick. I had a guy give me $1,000 one night. And he at 10 o'clock, I'm in bed at like 6:30. None of y'all go to bed early? Okay, I was exaggerating. Maybe it's 8:30. And this guy's banging on my door at 10 o'clock. And I'm like, who's here at 10 o'clock? So I went and answered. You know, Connie, she says, well, why don't you go up the door and see? That was a great idea. You know, particularly if it ain't somebody very violent, it could be a nice visit. He said, here's $1,000. He said, I'm sorry for bringing it by so late. I said, you don't need to apologize. He said, I told the Lord I would give it to you tomorrow, but he told me you needed it tonight. And boy, did I. I'm laying in bed with my eyes looking at the ceiling, wondering how I'm going to make the next payment. And the next payment pulled into my driveway. You know, God told him, give it quick. Maybe, I don't know, he was a wonderful guy. Maybe God knew if he didn't get it to me right away, you know, everybody needs a thousand. I mean, a Hondo is great, but you take a thousand, I mean, that's, you're getting into some real money now. And so forgive quickly before you forget about it. And then when it comes to being a giver, give quickly. Number four, and these are no particular order, but it's the prayer of agreement. Learn from this from listening to Kenneth Hagin. But Matthew 18:19 says, two of you agree on earth that's touching anything, it'll be done by Father. I'm telling you, when I got a hold of that, everything changed. Everything changed. Every prayer I prayed was a prayer of agreement. If you're married, you got an agreement partner. Yep. And I remember we prayed the prayer of agreement where we were first at. This lady that I had gone to school with ate up with cancer. And one of the guys we were praying with, he said, man, I felt like I could float. That never happens to me. You know, like oil poured on me, or feel like I can float or something like that. Get up around 300, man, that floating thing's a big deal. You want to float. And she got miraculously healed. She would keep coming back to her doctor, and they would keep telling her she was completely cancer-free. She got that from the prayer of agreement. I said, now look, we got to figure out what we agree on. And then we made sure we were in agreement. When you pray the prayer of agreement, don't one of you think, well, I hope she gets better, so that, and the other one say, well, I hope she begins to, the pain begins to subside. No, don't do all that. Get into agreement. Say it over and over if you have to. You just get it to where y'all are on the same sheet of music. You don't need 100 people. You can't get 10 people to get into agreement. All you need is one or two. Yeah. Where two of you are gathered, there I am in the midst. Yeah. Amen. The prayer of agreement. And then finally, the about the kingdom of God. Now, the kingdom of God, let's look at Mark 4:26. Very familiar verses. But it's good to look at it because right across the page there's verses on one side of the page, and we want to get to these other ones. Verse 26. And it says in verse 26, Mark 4:26, it says, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow, and he himself does not know how. For the earth yields the crop by itself, first the blade, then the head after that, then the full grain in the head. But when the grain ripens immediately, he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. Back to verse 26, it says, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. Now, if you look over here in verse 14, it tells you what the seed is. I'm not saying you can't sow money, you can't sow a car into somebody's life, you can't sow, I'm not saying you can't do that. But for this right here, what we're talking about, how the whole kingdom works, mark this down. It says in verse 14, the sower sows the word. The word ain't money. The word ain't a car. The word ain't well wishes or a smile. It ain't putting an arm around and encouraging. All of those things are wonderful and great. But if you want to talk about sowing, what the whole kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. Well, does that mean just take random seed and go throw it? No, it means the word. It says the sower, what he's sowing is the word. You don't... I'm not saying don't sow money or don't be kind or be a giver, generous giver to somebody. But I'm telling you, if you're talking about a Mark chapter 4 and the kingdom of God, it's sowing the word. Get the word in your heart. And that's that fertile ground. And watch it start coming out of your mouth. Yeah. You can tell when the word picks up its horsepower when you start hearing yourself saying it. And it wasn't too long before that you wouldn't have dreamed of saying that, because you wouldn't have presumed that everything was going to be all right. I believe our house is going to be paid for. I believe my kids going to be off drugs. I believe my children are going to have a great education. It's going to be paid for. I believe in whatever. You can do all of that you want to, but I'm telling you what, the first thing to do is find a verse that matches what you need. And then let that be your seed. Let this be your seed sack. It sounds all name it, claim it. Who cares how it sounds? I'm just telling you, that was an eye-opener that changed everything. When I found out I could have anything I want, because the kingdom that I am currently a member of operates on one rule. The sower sows the word. Yeah. And it doesn't say anything about plowing, tilling, and all that stuff. All it says is scatter it and go to sleep. You know, Jesus said, I only do what I see the Father do. I only say what I hear the Father say. Well, what was God doing when he was asleep up in the bow of that boat and there was all that water sloshing around? What was God the Father doing? Well, if he only did what he seen the Father doing, the Father must have been a nap man. I can relate to him. I'm a nap man myself. Voluntary sometimes, involuntary other times. Always to include some snoring. Scatter the seed on the ground and it'll grow. You don't even have to know how. Seed sowing ought to be done with the word. You can look at this up when you get a chance in Deuteronomy 26. Prepare, declare, worship, and rejoice. That's how you give. That's how you tithe. You don't give with money. You don't tithe with money. You tithe with your mouth. I know somebody said, what's he talking about now? Tithe with your mouth. Ain't no, listen, it's because your mouth is the seed spreader. Get the seed built up in your heart and spread it everywhere you go, and you'll find yourself living in a crop of God's holy written word, which is full of grace and favor. Isn't that wonderful? Yes. Now, as important as all those things have been in my life, I'm not saying they're the most important in your life. They've been incredibly important in my life. I believe there is nothing, honestly, right this minute, I believe there is nothing more important than your friendship with God. And that's what I'll talk about for just a few minutes tonight. Your friendship with God. I believe there is nothing more important than your friendship with God, and there's nothing more important to God than your friendship with God. God had a desire to have a family, and that's why we came about. Did you ever think about this earth? If it was a little closer to the sun, we'd fry. If it was a little farther away, we'd freeze. Man, this earth is just custom made for us by Dad. He stood on the portals in the darkness and said, light be, and before there was ever a sun or stars, it was light. He commanded the darkness with his words. And all of that was for us. Everything he does is for us. Listen, it's not a science any more than your family is a science. It's a family, and God is the Father. And you're his kid. And this love, which I'm not going to get into tonight, but this love that you know about, which is called unconditional love or agape, there's never been anything like it. There was never any need for the word in the classical Greek until Jesus came along. Because nobody ever did unconditional love. There wasn't any of that out there. It's all conditional. Well, there's nothing like a mother's love. There's something much greater than a mother's love. And it's the love of the Father. Amen. The unconditional love of God. And so, why do we have this favor? Why is this friendship so important to God? The same reason your family is so important to you. Same reason your family is so important to you. You look at them and they kind of look like you. I told my daughter, I'm sorry, it ain't easy being me. But they kind of look like you. Sometimes you hear them say stuff. Sounds like you. Sometimes you're really happy about that. Other times you want to stick your head in the sand. But I tell you what, God looks at you and loves you. You know, that's what he even said to that rich young ruler who went away sad. He said, take all you, he said, keep the commandments. He said, well, I kept them all. Okay. All right. Well, there's step number one. You're perfect in every way. Take all you got and give it to the poor and come follow me. Wait a minute now. Hold on, Jesus. I got great riches. Uh-oh. We did this, the mighty Savior just identified you, and he walked away sad because he got great riches. And the Bible says, if you look at it, I think it's in the King James, it says, and Jesus looked at him and loved him, even though he was failing hard as he could go. He looked at him and loved him. Listen, when you look in the mirror, consider that person looking back at you. And I'm not saying be weird, and for your wife, you know, wife will think you're crazy talking to yourself. Just go on and, you know, the Bible says we love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, and mind, and strength, and love our neighbor as ourselves. And we're supposed to love ourselves, too. Amen. And we can, you know, the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts. That unconditional love, the God kind of love, is in there. It's available for us. Why? Because God's our Father. He's our Dad. Amen? Yeah. So I'm going to read a couple verses here. And I will just say this. I believe there's nothing more important than your fellowship or than your friendship with God. And there's nothing more important to God than your friendship with God, because you're his family. In 2 Corinthians 13, 14, let's go over there. 2 Corinthians 13, 14. Notice it's the last word to the Corinthians there. It says in verse 14, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. In the Amplified Version, it says, the grace, favor, and spiritual blessing of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the presence and the fellowship and the communion and the sharing together and participation in the Holy Spirit be with you all. But listen to what that guy who wrote the message said. Same verse, 2 Corinthians 13, 14 in the Message Bible, and it says this, the amazing grace of the Master Jesus Christ, the extravagant love of God, and the intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit be with all of you. You know, when we're talking about friendship with God, you got to remember, you're not just talking about friendship with the Holy Spirit God or God the Father God or Jesus. God is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. It's a mystery. I mean, I remember this was the first question I asked my pastor when I got saved is, what's up with this Trinity thing? How is he God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit? And he said, well, I'll spare you the demonstrations of the yolk, the egg has the shell, and all of that stuff. He says, it's just a mystery, man. But you know, you have a spirit, you live in a soul, and you live in a body. So we're kind of three-part beings too.
Amen.
Amen. So the amazing grace of Jesus, the extravagant love of the Father, and the intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit be with all of you. We're talking about a real friend, somebody that you travel step by step with, the invisible friend, the one none of your friends can see, but they know something's going on in your life. Listen, they know something's going on in your life. That's why you look out and you see the trees. You can't see the wind, but you can see what's happening, what the wind is doing. And that's the same way with this God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit in your life. This true friend that when you close your eyes, you sense his presence there. I'm talking about friendship with God, real friendship, not just ignoring God several hours out of the day until you get time to, you know, drop on your knees and pray a quick prayer, you know, bless, 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 and here's what we need and all that stuff. That's not a friendship. That friendship don't work anywhere. Now, his love is unconditional, and one of the reasons for that is because he is love. Amen. I mean, he is love. But Jesus said, John 15, 15, I no longer call you servants, but I have now called you friends. Look with me in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And this is where the meat and potatoes of this thing is right here. If you go to Faith Fellowship, you'll find that your Bible almost falls open to these verses right here. To me, these verses are the gospel. They're wonderful. In 2 Corinthians 5, in verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Now that we've hit that word reconciliation in verse 18, I want you to pay attention to it in verse 19 and also in verse 20. Read 18 again. Now, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Well, if you go to the Strong's Concordance and you look that up, you'll find out that reconciliation, reconcile, reconciled, reconciling, it all comes from the Greek word katalage. Katalage, that probably ain't how you say it, but here we are. Amen. Katalage, and it means this. It means to reestablish friendship. Yeah. So you go back and you look at these verses here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18. Look how many times this is in here. Now all things are of God, who has reestablished friendship with us to himself with Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. So here's God, wanted a family, created us in His image and in His likeness, and then He set us, His family, out to populate His family. Amen. It's found in the Great Commission. Go into all the world, preach the gospel. Go into all the world and preach God's not mad at you. Go into all the world and preach God's love for you is unconditional, and He wants you in His family. He wants you to be His very own. Well, I've done this and I've done that. Get in line with all that. Everybody in here has done something. Remember the movies? In the sound booth, I got everybody's movie. Would you mind showing all of their movies up here? But you got to show your movie too. Are you okay with that? He said, yeah, my movie's fine. He's like the rich young ruler, ain't he? Man, I'm not picking on the sound guy. I'll tell you what, he can make you sound like Daffy Duck up here. And it's just, you don't want to mess with that guy. Praise God. To reestablish friendship. In Colossians chapter 1, it says you were once alienated and enemies, but where? In your mind. Only in your mind have you been the enemy of God. Listen, only in your mind has the lost world been the enemy of God. Only in their mind. You know, we like to think, well, we're the good guys, right? We're the good ones, and everybody that don't either look like us or talk like us or believe just like us is the bad guys. That's not this unconditional love right here. That's something else. Amen. I'm not saying you shouldn't be cautious as you go through life, but I'm going to tell you, there was a time when you were holding up the bottom of the barrel too. Everybody. Everybody's got things they've done that they're ashamed of. Everybody's got things that only God could get them out of, and we've all been there. Reconciled. We got the ministry, it turns out, of reconciliation. So now we're not people who say, wonder what my calling is. What am I supposed to be doing with my life? Well, now I'm going to tell you what your calling is. It's in verse 18 and verse 19. It's the ministry of reconciliation, or the ministry of reestablishing friendship between the lost world and God. We're the ambassadors. We're the sent ones. We're the ones that they're going to listen to. Listen, if your neighbor, he's going to borrow your weed whacker, he's going to give it back to you either broke, no string on it, or the gas tank's going to be empty, or a combination of the three. You might as well witness to him. Might as well get him saved. He's going to keep borrowing and messing up your weed whacker. So you might, hey, you got him captive. Right there, you got he's trying to apologize like the prodigal son, and you say, hey, forget all that. Get the chainsaw and adorn him with whatever. You know what I'm saying? Get him born again. Reestablish the friendship between him and God. Reestablish friendship. It says it five times in two verses in there. You want to know what your ministry is? That's it. Share the gospel. Share the good news. It's the goodness of God that leads a person to repentance. It's the grace of God that teaches us to deny godliness and worldly lust. It's His goodness and grace that causes us to come to Him. We're not drawn to God because He's mean and He's some austere blob off in heaven shooting fireballs down here on us. That's not who we fall in love with. We fall in love with the goodness of God, who says, I know you've made a wreck out of your life. Or you're an up and outer, or you're a down and outer. It's something you haven't done just right or whatever, but listen, my love for you is unconditional. Come on, you're welcome in the family. Right. You ever feel like you're on the outside looking in? Listen, my friend, you ain't on the outside looking in when it comes to this. Right. You're on the inside looking around saying, I don't deserve this. Right. Thank God. Hallelujah. That's the good news right there, isn't it? Yes, sir. So we'll look at a few more things. And then we'll get ready to wrap it up. Doug said keep it under 2 hours, and I told you he's hard to get along with. Anybody been drinking out of this yet? Okay, made to pop. You know, if it pops, you're good. Wow, what's in there? Catalage, to reestablish friendship. What a wonderful thing. Our ministry, this ministry of reconciliation, is allowing God through Jesus, through us, the body of Christ, to implore the world to be friends with God, to walk daily with Him. It starts with our daily fellowship and friendship with God, who is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Our ministry of reconciliation is allowing God, through Jesus, through us, the body of Christ, to implore the world to be friends with God. He wants a big family. He wants the biggest table at Golden Corral. You know what I'm saying? He wants a big family. And that's our ministry, and that's our job. That's, you say, well, what could I ever do for God? God's done everything for me. What could I do for Him? Get yourself involved in the ministry of reconciliation or the ministry of reestablishing friendship. You've got a call on your life. It's called the Great Commission. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. He believes and is baptized will be saved, doesn't believe will be condemned. These signs will follow. Then we believe in the signs are worth it. In my name, cast out demons, speak with new tongues, lay hands on the sick. I mean, that's fun stuff right there. And it's all free, and it's all for you, and it all accompanies you on this ministry of reconciliation. You must be a friend of God, because it's almost like there's magic in your hands. I know we don't use the word magic, but if you look at the gifts of the Spirit and think about what it closely resembles, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, tongues, interpretation of tongues, gifts of healing. Think of laying hands on the sick and they recover. Think of the word of knowledge or the word of wisdom where you could speak. Don't you want to speak into somebody's life and you know something that you got no earthly way of knowing? And so you go up to Walmart's the spot. You got all the Walmartians gathered in there. Go ahead. Hey, look. Just go ahead and allow God to speak to your heart. I just want to share with you the Lord has, whatever God has shown me. The Lord has shown me you've been through a tough time lately. And listen, if that's what you're saying, get ready to reach in your pocket. Because just saying God told me you're having a tough time, that ain't the reconciliation of friendship. It's pull some of that green out and say, look, here's a couple hundred to get you started back on your way. You say, well, I don't have a couple hundred. Well, start giving your money away and you will. But look, give and it'll be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
So our ministry is the ministry of reestablishing friendship. Or we could say it like this. Our ministry is a ministry of populating the family of God. What are we doing to populate the family of God? Look, watching the news and complaining don't do it. All of that mealy mouth arguing those and commiserating those preachers were doing, that didn't do it. Being a Republican who can out talk a liberal somebody, that ain't it. None of that's it. The God, the Father, the creator of all things, that same one that said, light be, when it was dark as the inside of a cow. Yeah. And bam, on comes the lights. That one is your Father. And He has a desire for a family. And He's looking at you, body of Christ, to say, what are you doing about populating my family? Amen. Well, I wouldn't want to say something to somebody. They might get offended. Check with them 1,000 years from now and see if they got offended.
Yeah.
Well, I hope you wouldn't be able to check with them, you know. Hopefully somebody else got to them. But, you know, to worry about stuff like that, worry. I don't want to offend somebody. Well, I've got a job that's bigger than that. And it's not because I'm a preacher. I don't know how much longer I'm going to be a preacher, as long as God puts up with me. But I'm out there just like you are. I'm in Walmart just like you are. In there with no shirt on, my Speedo. Some things you just can't unsee. Just put that out as quick. Just forget that as quick as you can. Why is it, you ever wonder, did I mention to you that I was on the board of directors here? I might have just lost my job. Anyway. How come we didn't get off on that, right? Why is it reestablished friendship? What happened? Did God make us as His enemies or what? I mean, what happened? Well, he was very instrumental in it. God created man out of His heart hunger for a family. Again, not a religion, not a science, not even a theology. Your family's not a religion or a science or a theology. It's a family. It's not laws and rules. It's a family. God put his creation, made in his image and likeness, in a garden called paradise. What was God's will for man? Well, when he created him, he put him in a garden called paradise. It's almost like we've got this incredible favor with God. He put us there to eat freely of the fruit of the garden. But that's not all. To walk and talk with each other on special daily walks through paradise in the cool of the day. To tend the garden and even to name all the animals. The Bible tells us that God didn't tell Adam, all right, go get them animals and bring them in here and we'll name them. He brought Adam the animals. I'm telling you, you've got a tender and wonderful, loving Father who cares about you deeply. And like I say, in the midst of these just messing up hard as they could go, he's looking at them and loving them. He put these people made in his image and in his likeness in a garden called paradise to eat freely of the fruit of the garden. But that's not all, to walk and talk with each other on special daily walks in paradise in the cool of the day, tend the garden together, name the animals, raccoon, aardvark, blue whale. I mean, he named them all, and what he named them is what they were. He had a pretty strong mind on him. I mean, he called that one with the long nose an anteater. As soon as he called it an anteater, you know what that thing did? Went looking for ants. Stuck his nose down in an ant hole and started chowing down. He said to tend the garden and name the animals. Trust God and leave the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil alone. Just tend that one, but don't eat it. Think of this wonderful Heavenly Father who's expressed nothing to you but love, and he says, now you're going into a garden called paradise. I can see them pulling a pomegranate or something like that off a tree and starting to eat it, and somebody say, have you had the pear yet? And look over there, and it might be, Adam might be over there just juggling pears. You know how those good jugglers can eat an apple while they're juggling and stuff like that? Don't you think that he tossed one to the Lord and said, you've got to try this? And God went like, I don't know how it tastes. And they walked through the garden. They walked through the garden called paradise in the cool of the day, enjoying each other's company, maybe naming one or two animals as they went, sampling the fruit. But then this love incarnate, God said, trust me and leave the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil alone and just tend that one, don't eat it. And then the craziest thing in the Bible happened. And it happened right there in the beginning of Genesis. A talking snake deceived the woman, and she ate the forbidden fruit and gave it to Adam, who was where? Right there with her. Now, we like to think he was, because he was the man, he kind of represents us sort of in a way. We like to think he was out tending the garden, you know, maybe drawing in a few more animals or something like that. But no, Ding Dong was standing right there with Eve, and he could have said to her, the Bible says she was deceived. He wasn't. He went into it as an act of treason. He was not deceived. She was. He could have smacked that out of her hand. Or gently took it from her hand like I would have done my wife. And said, honey, you know we're not supposed to eat that one. Why are you trying to sabotage all of eternity, dear? Usually Connie doesn't come with me. I usually get away with all this. There was a lady, Miss Evie? We used to come here, and for whatever reason, for some time I'd come without Connie, or maybe she stopped to talk to somebody out there or something like that. And she said, she's so sweet. She said, where is your wife? I said, I left her out in the truck. She would swell all up on me. I don't recommend any of these things I'm saying right now. In fact, just file that one with the Speedo shot, and let's just move on. Let's move on. This snake, who could talk, talked her into taking a bite of that, and gave Adam, who was right there with her, a bite of it. And you can read about the consequences of their action. There's a lot about it in Romans chapter 5. Through one man's disobedience, many became sinners. But through one man's obedience, many became righteous.
Hallelujah.
Where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. Amen. This is a God who absolutely loves us.
Yeah.
Loves us. And you can see those consequences. And there's more of the consequences and stuff in there in Romans 5. Sin and death entered by one man, but life by a man also. No more sampling the various kinds of fruit. No more evening walks in the cool of the day, naming the animals and hanging out. They were exiled from the garden. We know, and you know from the teaching here, thank God that they were exiled from the garden for their own good. Because they allowed... You know, the craziest thing about this is the devil said, in the day that you eat this, he knows that you'll be like God. And you know what the craziest thing is? They were already exactly, they were made in the image and likeness of God. They were already just like God. Look, don't fall for that one. That's like falling for the tongue talking is just a bunch of gibberish. I don't care what you think about that. It'll change your life.
Yeah.
And this was life, this was a life-changing thing.
Yeah.
No more naming that. So the dream, the father dream of God was on the rocks. Not saying it was over with, because hey, here we are, right? And people are worshiping God on Sunday morning all over. I mean, millions and millions and millions of people are in the family of God. But at that time, things were looking a little shaky, weren't they? No more of sampling the various kinds of fruit. No more of the walks. No more of the punching God on the arm and having that fun stuff. You say, well, that's just blasphemous. You know, and some people say, well, I've heard people say, well, I don't want a God that's my friend. I want a God that's my God. Listen, you got a God that can multitask.
Yeah.
He can not only be your God, but he can even be friends with you. It's a struggle, but he can do it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank God we have 2 Corinthians 5:18. God reconciled us to himself through Jesus and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is to reestablish friendship. And not just for us, verse 19 says, but the whole world. Do you know there's that whosoever thing? So anywhere you go, first of all, God goes before you. You're a person who wants to begin to populate the family of God. Keep in mind, God goes before you. And he's everywhere and all-knowing and everything. And the very people that need to hear what you have to say have already been tuned up by the Holy Spirit because he goes before us. So what do you mean tuned up? They're more receptive. Especially if you think about this, maybe you're not in that spot where you're just going to step out to the Walmart and get up on a bucket and start screaming the gospel like down at the shipyard. Man, there was a guy, he was a street preaching machine at lunchtime. He'd come out there, get on a bucket. He'd warn us and give us tracks and warn us. And as soon as we saw him, we'd just get up and leave because he was getting ready to say, the wonderful word of God says you will turn in this lifetime or you will burn for eternity. I was burning my throat just saying it. Not just us, but the whole world. The whole world. That's where these whosoevers are. They're out everywhere. And if you're not ready to get up on the bucket, you can do something and never even get out of bed. And that's called pray.
Yeah.
What's so important about prayer? Prayer is how we, little old us, establishes the will of God here in the earth. God wants a big old family, then that ought to be our desire too. What's my ministry today when I wake up on Monday morning, Tuesday morning, Wednesday? What's my ministry? Well, my ministry is to populate the family of God. It's called the Great Commission.
Yeah.
Go into all the world. Amen. Start today. Yeah. Accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. That's where it begins at.
Yeah.
Friendship between anybody is going to require some time together or you get disconnected.
Yeah.
It's going to require some talking. No talk, no friendship. You got to talk to your friends. And then there's got to be some activity. There's got to be something exciting. Somebody needs to grow a limb or get their sight back or something like that. And I'll just say this. I've never had some great healing ministry. I sure wish I would have. Although all the people with the great healing ministries come under a lot of pressure. They have a lot of opposition to them. But I tell you what, it's thrilling to see somebody that you know you're praying for, especially somewhere like in the shipyard. And that's where I worked 14 years. And you can get them saved. Just share the good news with them that God's not mad with them. God's not put out with them. God is love, and he's for them and not against them. Yeah. And that they can enter freely, enter the family right now. What about the cigarettes? Bring them with you.
Right.
I can't leave here. I can't leave and go and join something. I can't give up my cigarettes. Don't worry about it. I can't give up this other sin or that or this. Don't worry about that. You got the meter of all your needs who says he's your father, your dad. Go ahead and get born again. Amen.
Amen.
And if you have a ministry, if you don't have a ministry, you got one now. It's the ministry of reconciliation or reestablishing friendship with God for this lost world. And if you don't think the world's lost, go ahead and flip the news back on and look for a while, and you'll realize there's an urgent call on your life to populate the family of God, the Great Commission. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Douglas, what next? That's it. Oh, okay. Bow your heads for just a minute. Don't know how y'all do it here, but look.